My name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism, holding my tongue when I should speak. Now, that's what this past week was, actually. There's my sin, passivity, holding my tongue when I should speak up, and blaming that on processing rather than being forthright. So there's my sin that you can pray for. Welcome. Sorry, that was wordy. The ABC gag, it's B, be brief. In the summer of 2008, I was in a meeting in Dallas in someone's home. I don't even know whose house it was. But I was there to support these friends, and some guest speaker was talking. I'm sitting there listening, and I'd been praying, like, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And at some point, this person was talking about Sudan, and they were talking about microfinance, of which I know nothing about. And it all kind of like blurred out in my mind, and all I heard was blah, 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 and people are dying of alcoholism in Sudan. And it wasn't even about the epidemic of alcoholism in South Sudan. It was about microfinance. But God in that moment attuned my heart to what he was saying. And I left that meeting. I was like, I think I'm supposed to go to South Sudan to minister to alcoholics. And so I'll pray about it, talk about it. Anyway, fast forward, there I am. I'm in South Sudan. And the reason why is because of the war, like you've heard of Darfur and all that mess, like the North Sudanese came down, tried to decimate and wipe out the Southern Sudanese. And what they did is they destroyed every building. They killed all the young men. They left landmines in all the fields so they couldn't farm. It was a wasteland. And so anyone who was left was just like shattered and broken. And the men in particular, the women needed money. And so they started making moonshine. And the men needed peace, because their world had been so destroyed, no jobs, no ability to do anything, couldn't even farm for food, and so they were drinking this moonshine. This moonshine, they would put embalming fluid in it, kerosene, like anything that would mess you up, and then they would distill it. It was so potent, they called it white stuff. It would make you blind within months and dead within half a year to a year. But they would get, it was so highly addictive, and so what I would do is I would walk around to these moonshine distilleries on the side of the road. And I would say, and I mean, they were shocked to see me. I don't look Sudanese. And so I could gain an audience pretty quickly and say, could I tell you why I'm in Sudan? And they'd be like, yeah, have a seat. And I'd say, I'm here because I was an alcoholic. And I'd tell them my story and the despair and the depression and the way that it haunted me. And I thought I could not get through a day without drinking. And I'd say, and I want to invite you. It was a little awkward because I was right there in front of their moonshine bartender. But I was like, and I want to invite you to a meeting to get free from alcoholism. And we're gonna meet under the mango tree by the church. And sure enough, these people started coming. And we were doing regen in Sudan. It was just this 12, unofficially, it was this 12-step program there in Sudan. And this one guy in particular, well, the whole crowd came, but I can tell people about Jesus. I can walk them through the 12 steps. What I can't do is lead worship. I need people like this. You don't want to hear me sing. Ask Ann. She was right beside me. I'm singing the wrong verse. I got my eyes closed and I start singing the wrong thing. And so we're like, man, we need a worship leader. And lo and behold, this guy, Kosamos, this older Sudanese alcoholic that I had invited, shows up with an instrument. We got a picture of him. Here's Kosamos with his little harp. And he starts playing this song. And so now we're able to sing. We're able to sing praises. And I talked to him. I'm like, so what is this? This is like a Sudanese harp or something? And he's like, through a translator, he's like, no, it's a landmine. I was like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, this is a landmine. We dug it up. We took out the explosives. We covered it in a goat skin, stringed it, put the wood on it. And this is this instrument. And I looked at him and I'm like, that's you, Kosamos. And it's you, Regen. We all were that landmine. There was a thing of destruction, filled with death to ourselves and to others by sin and Satan. Buried, the Bible says, dead in our sin. And we needed someone else to dig us up and cleanse us from all of that mess that meant death for us and those around us, and then made us a thing of worship, that we could exalt praise to God with our lives and lead others in praise, even by those around us. And it's what God does, no matter where you are. He will take you and whatever is within that was meant for destruction in your life, whether it was done by you or to you, or just afflicted upon you by Satan, and he will gut you, that landmine, and string you and make you a thing of awe and beauty and worship. It's what he does. And so that's what's happening here every Monday night as people walk through these doors, as they come, as they go through groundwork and first-time guests and go on through the steps and then come back and lead others. You are in a process of being dug up, cleaned out, and made into an instrument, your entire life into an instrument of worship to the glory of God. And there's another man who was a landmine, a walking landmine to the early church, Paul. And he writes in 1 Timothy 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man's an understatement. He oversaw the death of Stephen and was a bounty hunter of Christians. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Listen. This is said very rarely in Scripture. So when it's said, you listen. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the landmines, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, friends, first-time guests, avail yourself to the one who can dig you up, clean you, and make you into a thing of worship for the rest of your life. He lives to do it. Give him your life through Jesus Christ our Lord.